Hey everyone, thank you so much for coming back to just continue to maybe dip your toe or jump in with both feet into this week-long summit that we're calling the Medicine of Mindset. And it really is a pattern interrupt. This week, as you know, has been all about taking what we maybe have come to believe as medicine being manufactured in a lab, being prescribed on a piece of paper, and flipping that really on its head. I have today with me Tom McCarthy, and we're gonna learn a little bit more about this amazing man, his story, the work that he's doing, and why both he and I feel like if we could return to the definition of medicine, which is inside of us, that our society could be completely up-leveled in a beautiful, magical way. So, Tom, thank you so much for being here. I want to just tell our audience just a little bit about you, and then we're going to learn more through our conversation. But Tom is a dad, he's a husband, he's an author, he's an investor, he's an entrepreneur. And not only that, but he has meandered through multiple different industries, which I absolutely love. Training, software, financial services, restaurant. And so what happens when we have those experiences is our mindset has to become a really important part of our operating system, or this kind of success just doesn't happen. Tom, again, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to turn the virtual mic over to you. And why don't you start by just giving us a sense of how you came to, you know, kind of drawing your line in the sand and planting your flag in this area of health and wellness.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for that great introduction, Jana. Great to be with you. So as you mentioned, I've been in a lot of different industries. When I was in my 20s, I actually moved out here to San Diego to help run Tony Robbins' company. And I did that for a few years and then had all sorts of different businesses. But one of the things I've always had a passion for is health and wellness. And looking at the at the time I was growing up, conventional ways of doing that. So not just going to a doctor, getting medications. I mean, that's fine. But I was always looking beyond that. And so in 2015, I had a pretty traumatic year. I came down with a virus. I was traveling all over the world and wasn't probably sleeping enough. I eat well, but I wasn't sleeping enough. I was pretty stressed out. And I came down with a virus and it didn't get better. And so my doctor, who's a holistic doctor, was a little concerned, and he normally doesn't do this, but he prescribed antibiotics to me. And so I took some antibiotics. I wasn't a big fan of that. And I still didn't get in bed. I didn't get any better. And this went on and on and on until eventually I had chronic fatigue. And I thought literally I was dying. And I went to several practitioners, and these were people very well-meaning and holistic practitioners with all the latest, greatest ideas and strategies, but I wasn't getting better. And what I then did, I was very afraid, right? Because I've never been in that situation before. But what I did was I started searching for, right, who's had this before? Who's had chronic fatigue? Because some of the doctors were saying, look, this is maybe something you just have to live with the rest of your life. I'm like, forget that, right? This sucks. I don't want to live with this the rest of my life. And I found the guy over in London who had it and gotten better quickly. And his strategy was really all around the mind, right? And there's lots of different things that can support the mind, but his was his philosophy around chronic fatigue was that the amygdala, the little parts of our brain, become overreactive, get in fight or flight. They're the parts of our brain that signal fight or flight, kind of the gatekeepers. And then what happens is you can be in bed 14 hours, because I was sleeping 14 hours and I could barely walk to the bathroom. I had no energy, but the 14 hours of being in bed, I was not asleep. I was not recovering. I was not resting. And so what I had to do, I considered myself an expert on mindset because, you know, I was training other people on it, but this was a great wake-up call to take it to another level. And so I was able to reprogram my mind And I hope we'll talk about the mind because I've got lots of different things I'd love to share on the mind. And once I did that, then I got better. I believe that there are great treatments out there and I take advantage of different things, even just like massage or things like that. But at the end of the day, your mindset will determine whether you recover or not. Your mindset will determine whether you can resist viruses or different things that are going on outside of you. So the mindset to me is everything.
Okay. So I am such a believer in the gifts of these moments in our life where we're kind of brought to our knees in a way. And, using a Star Wars analogy, I feel like, for that moment, the Jedi Master, you became the Padawan for a little while so that you could go deeper into this learning. So why don't we touch on, let's go there. Define that subconscious mind. What is it? How do we tap into it? How does your story unfold as you started learning more about the mind?
Yeah. And so again, I always thought I was an expert at it, but this was just another opportunity for me to go deeper and really prove that what I believed in works. And I've got some other examples, including my son, that we can talk about too. But so I think where I may deviate from the way that some people look at the mind, I don't believe the mind is a body part. I believe the mind, and particularly I call it the super conscious mind. I just wrote a book called The Breakthrough Code, and people call it the subconscious, but in reality, it is so conscious, right? It's so conscious that our conscious mind can't even comprehend it. And the conscious mind is the part that, we think is our mind. I'm thinking this thought, I'm asking this question, I'm taking in this information. But the conscious mind can only process 40 bits of information per second. So if it were a computer, it would be a relatively inefficient computer. It's cool. 40 things in 1 second is pretty good. But the superconscious mind, or what most people call the subconscious mind, can process 40 million bits of information per second. And it's always working. When your conscious mind is asleep, your superconscious is always working. It's going out there trying to find exactly what you need to create what you have programmed down in your superconscious mind. But here's the problem. The program down in the superconscious mind, a lot of times, is not a great program, right? We've inherited some of our parents' programs about how successful we can be, how happy we can be, how healthy we can be. If you had parents that struggled with illnesses, you probably picked up some of their programming unconsciously, not consciously, but unconsciously. And now whatever is programmed down in there, like if we have a program that it's tough to be happy, or, bad things always happen to me, the superconscious mind doesn't judge. It doesn't say, hey, wait a minute, don't do that. It just goes, all right, this is the program. Go make sure that we make it real for you. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody is struggling or they have a health condition, there's a program down in there that is creating or making that health condition continue on. And so you've got to dig down in there. And when I say in there, again, I don't believe it's a body part. I believe it's bigger than our body. I believe it can extend beyond our body and go get answers and resources and connections and create relationships with people that can help you. But the programming is super important. And I think, part of what people need to do is figure out, all right, what's really down in there? And it's not like it's instantaneous. It's work you've got to do and figure out, all right, what do I need to take out? And then what do I need to put back in? But when you do that, you heal.
Okay. I love the reframe to super conscious, and I'm going to be using that because you're right. It is grand. And it's not like the part that's under the conscious or secondary to. So thank you for that reframe. And then those old patterns that you talked about, do you believe that they are just from this lifetime, or can they come from other lifetimes? I mean, I've been talking to experts on this summit. And so if that's the case, and you know, our audience is like, how do I even start to deal with that? What would you say?
Well, I would say, yes, I do believe it comes from other lifetimes. So also I would say though, it's a daily process and your work will never be done on it, right? You know, you can always, in the breakthrough code, there's three big ideas that I wrote about. First is focus on less and then obsess, but it's not a conscious obsession. Like, focus in on the result you want and then let your superconscious like obsess on it, because it's got all this capability, this power to do that. Consciously, we don't. Consciously, you've got too many different things going on and you got this processor that's 40 bits of information per second. But the superconscious, if it's programmed correctly, can easily heal you, right? And part of that healing may be taking some alternative treatments. You know, that could be the 20-30% part, but your superconscious will even guide you to figure out what those treatments are. The 70% or the 80% is going to be, though, your belief system, which is down in your superconscious. And some of our beliefs, I think we could come from prior lifetimes. I think we could inherit them from ancestors, right? So I think there's all sorts of things down in there. The second part of the breakthrough code is upgrade your story to upgrade your life. Your story are the beliefs, the thoughts, the feelings, the experiences that reside down in your superconscious. And to upgrade, you need to get rid of your old baggage, and then you need to develop a new story that you're programming down in there. But if you just put a new story in and it's on top of old crappy foundational stuff, it won't be stable. It won't take root. So what I do is I will sit in one of those chairs and I'll just go, all right, if things aren't happening the way I want them to, I just go and I just get into an alpha state, a meditative state. And I'm like, all right, what's down there? Like, what is not right that I need to start to work with? And then I've got lots of different strategies, once you identify it, to start literally like taking them out and saying goodbye to them and thanking them for whatever value they added up till now, but we just don't need you anymore. Your old baggage that we don't want to be carrying around. But I believe it is a lifelong process. And I think the things that are happening in our life pretty much show you what your belief systems are, because your superconscious is creating the life that you have programmed down in there. So if you've got an illness, or you've got a challenge in a relationship, if you have a challenge in your finances, then it's really important to go down in there and say, all right, what's causing this? What do I believe? Or what memory am I hanging on to? What thought or what emotion is creating all this? And again, it's an art, it's not a science, and it's a multi-level process many times. It's usually not one thing. There's several things down in there, but when people start doing this and start taking control of what's down in there, their life absolutely changes.
Okay, so a couple of things that I want to loop back to. And I just want to see which one I want to ask first. You talked about, I want to make sure everyone understands, you talked about the alpha brainwave state in meditation. Yeah. Can you just frame that? If this is the first time someone's hearing, what is alpha? Do I have to go and research it? Give them like the Coles Notes version on getting into that state and why it's important.
Okay, good. Yeah. So when we're active, like right now, talking and conversations and thinking and writing emails and things like that, we're in a beta wave brain state. So our brain waves are pretty active, right? They're spinning at a higher rate than if we were in a meditative state, or in kind of when you wake up in the morning, right? That's an alpha state. You're a little groggy, but that state is one of the best states. Now, there are two states below that. One is super deep sleep, so your conscious mind's really not even active there. And then we've got another state right below the alpha state, but the alpha state is really where you want to focus in on getting into. Because the alpha state it's a state where that trap door down in the superconscious opens up and you can start to communicate with more power. hard to do in a beta state, right? The mind's just too active. The conscious mind's too active. So when you get down into that alpha state, you can start to really program and do things at a much higher level. You have your thoughts have more power in an alpha state. So how do you get into alpha state? Well, you can meditate, you can do some deep breathing, or one quick little easy way is just look up, and you can do it with your eyes closed, but just you have your face is still facing forward. But if you just raise your eyes up at about a 45 degree level, right? Just like you're doing right now. Good job. If you just do that, you will start to access an alpha state. And you can do it with your eyes closed too. You can actually just raise your eyes behind the eyelids and you get into an alpha state. And it's a very quick way to do it. It actually will help you even get into a meditation a little bit quicker. It's a way to almost do self-hypnosis. But that's what an alpha state is. And you just start to relax and everything calms down and the craziness of the outside world slows down. And now you can start going down into your superconscious.
Okay. That is super cool. First of all, I've never heard that 45 degree little hack. And we can even be riding on the subway and, you know, and doing that. So I love that. Now, let me ask you, as I'm listening to you talk, one of the strategies, that I think we use quite often is journaling, right? Or getting our thoughts down on paper. So to me, that feels like a very conscious activity where we're thinking about getting those words down on paper. So if what you're telling us in the super conscious, like, mm-hmm. What's the value of that journaling? If it's coming from the conscious and we're trying to tap into the super conscious, does that still have a lot of value, or should we be getting into that alpha state first and then picking up our pen and writing? Like what's the deal there?
That's a great question. I've never been asked that question before. That's a great question. But I do think when you're doing your best writing, I know for me, like when I was writing my book when I was in that flow, I was not in a beta brainwave state. I was in an alpha brainwave state. Things were coming through me, not me manufacturing idea. Like that's actually, or even when I speak, when I go out and I speak and I'm on a stage and speaking to thousands of people, I really work hard to get out of my head and more into my heart, which I think the superconscious is more of a heart type thing. It's not a body part, but it's more coming through you, not you manufacturing it. So I think the best journaling is going to be like the conscious mind is good to prompt the superconscious, right? The conscious mind is good to program the superconscious. You need to use your conscious mind to think through what kind of program. But when you're journaling and that type of thing, your best writing, your best journaling is always going to be when you are in a more relaxed state and you're just letting it flow. And that's the superconscious working for you. And another thing, another little story actually I wanted to share, which I think would be interesting, like our belief systems are so critical in healing. And my son, who was an athlete in college, so he played basketball and he played at one school, his first school, he played was there for 4 years, but he had a concussion 1 year. And so he sat out that year in college sports called a redshirt year. So he had an extra year to play. And so he went to grad school at a second school and he was going to play a year and work on getting his MBA. And so he showed up and he had pain in his hip. He had pain in his knee. He was getting all this treatment. He was really struggling with it. And the doctors, the physical therapists were saying, you know, we just got to keep working on it. And then he finally was able to practice. He was feeling well enough to practice. He goes out there, his back goes out. And so there's a 23-year-old kid. He can't even walk. And they take him in to do an MRI with an orthopedic surgeon. The orthopedic surgeon, you know, tells him, look, you've got the largest herniated disc we've ever seen in a young kid your age. You know, that's why you're having all this, not only now back pain, but you're having this hip pain and knee pain. And he said, we need to bring you under, put you under and put some, an injection in, you know, of steroids, cortisone, and that may help out. And so anyways, my son didn't know what was going on. So he's like, all right. And they come in there, they shoot him up, and the doctor is very well-meaning, right? Cause that's a standard of care, I guess. My son gets out. It's not any better. As a matter of fact, like 2 days later, he's in his kitchen at his little apartment and he twists and his back goes out again. And now he can't even walk. And I said, look, Tommy, a lot of pain in the body, chronic pain, which is what you're experiencing now, a lot of it is not because you've got some injury. It's because you're repressing emotions. And there was a doctor that had passed away in his 90s that I'd read his books, called Dr. John Sarno. And he was one of his, well, his key philosophy, because he studied pain. He was an MD that studied pain. And he would take the toughest cases, the people that could not find a way to heal, that were basically incapacitated by back pain. A lot of it was back pain. And they would come to him and he had like a 98%, you know, success rate. And he didn't do any therapy. He didn't do any injections. All he did was he taught people that when you have emotions like repressed anger, or when you're a perfectionist that always is trying to get things right and being hard on yourself, your mind is going to tap into your body and say, hey, we're going to create some pain here to distract you from this anger that you're really feeling, because it may be too intense for you to deal with emotionally. And all my son did was he listened to a book called The Mind-Body Prescription by Dr. John Sarno. He listened to it. He just listened to it three times. His pain went away. It's never returned since. It's been over 3 years now. He still has a herniated disc, but he's got no pain. And then on top of that, he had some acne that he was still having, like, you know, from the teenage years into his 20s. He was eating like super clean, everything he could do. He still had it. That went away literally within days of understanding the body is being created. Our bodies are being created minute by minute by the superconscious. And so when he understood that, and then he was willing to deal with these repressed emotions, and he had some anxiety dealing with the emotions, got over that, but his body didn't have pain anymore. This chronic pain that they said, you know, unless you have surgery, you'll continue to have it. No, he didn't have to deal with that. The mind is the best healer that you have. And so I love what you're doing with your summit, and it's what we try and do in our summit too, right? So I love it. This is so cool.
That story is, you know, all these miracles. And first mm-hmm. of all, I also have a Tommy in my life. Our youngest son is Tommy. And our middle son had a pain journey as well, right? Which took us to the Mayo Clinic. And it's just, what I'm so excited about is I feel like these future generations of kids who are offspring of those of us, you know, in this generation, who are looking for something different, right? And have found something different. What are their kids going to know? And what are their kids going to know? And that's what's just so, it's so fascinating. And I think intriguing and encouraging as parents to know that, you know, I don't know about you, but you know, the people in my life, my parents and my grandparents, we never, like, it was go to the doctor. Although I do have to say, my grandma, my Ukrainian grandma, would like plant her garden by the phases of the moon and all that kind of stuff. And so you've given us, Tom, so much good, just good, juicy, yummy information that I feel like people that are watching, you know, have connected with you in so many ways. Tell us how, you know, well, you've started through your story, the possibilities of the superconscious. If someone is watching, and I have this theory that we can connect every single person on this earth to a character from Winnie the Pooh. I don't know if you know the story, right? And I feel like sometimes we feel like Eeyore. Eeyore is that sweet little donkey with the bow on his tail, that everything seems to always happen to Eeyore. He's got this cloud around him. For those people who are lovingly in an Eeyore state, how help them understand what the possibilities are when you get this upgrade, so that they can, you know, maybe see a little crack in the armor and believe that I'm not here, you know, by mistake. I'm listening to this for a purpose. And, you know, this is my data shift. What do you say to them?
Well, this is another interesting question, because people want to heal consciously. They want to heal. And when they're struggling, they want to heal, but they want to heal and still be the same person, the same thoughts, the same emotions, the same belief system. That's not possible. Right. That's why. And by the way, that's why they go to a doctor and say, give me a pill. Right. You know, give me something from the outside, because I don't want to work on the inside. So it's hard work to shift who you are, but it is so necessary. So if you have an Eeyore personality, the cloud is always over my head. If you continue with that, I'm not saying it's wrong. You can absolutely do that, but it will be very hard for you to heal, if not impossible. It'll be very hard for you to ever be happy and truly content and prosper financially. Like, you're just going to struggle, and it has nothing to do with your potential. It just has to do with your programming. And so this work of really becoming a better version of yourself should be what we're all working on all the time. None of us are perfect. We all have chinks in the armor. I don't care who you are, right? You've got something down in your superconscious that is going to create friction or challenges or troubles for you. And that's okay, right? Because it's creating that trouble so you can have an outside experience that just allows you to go back down in and make some shifts, make some changes, get some stuff out, put some better stuff in. I think that's what illness does. I know for me, when it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through in 2015. I literally thought I was dying. I was inflamed. I felt like crap. I would go to, and it made me mad too, because I went to this one doctor. I'm like, all right, maybe this is not just mind body at one point, because I was struggling so hard with it. And I had my sinuses were inflamed. My lungs were inflamed. And my doctor, you know, he was a cool guy. And he's like, I think this is just like emotional inflammation. I'm like, no, I didn't say that like that to him, but I'm like, it's not, it can't be. I'm feeling it. My glands are all swollen. And I went to this ENT just to, you know, look down my sinuses. And I remember them saying, you've got about the best looking sinuses I've seen all day. I'm like, it just pissed me off. And I had to deal with the fact that it was me. It was me creating this. Yes, I did have a virus, right? But we have viruses all the time. The virus triggered some stuff in me that then continued on this journey for several months until I totally took responsibility. It's me. Now, I still was going to get, you know, massages or, you know, maybe some ozone treatment or things like that. So that's that 20% that helps out. But the big work for anybody is going to be you, like going down into you and figuring out, why is this showing up on the outside? What's down in there? And then having the courage to say, you know what? And this is something I tell people, you're under zero obligation to be the exact same person you were 5 minutes ago. And then the other thing I tell people all the time, and it's in my book, is everything's created twice. First inside, and then you see it on the outside. So whatever you see on the outside was created first inside of you. And if you want something better, go inside and create it. And one of the things that I remember one of my energy healing friends telling me, he goes, you know, you have to envision yourself, you know, healthy and feeling great. And it was like, that was super hard, because I was feeling like crap and I didn't have any energy. And so one of the techniques that I teach now, and it's in the breakthrough code too, and we'll give some as bonus some free videos, and this is one of the ones on it, but it's, you've got to see it, feel it, and believe it, and then let it go. Let the superconscious do it. But a couple times every day, if you're not in the health state you want to be, you literally have to go in that alpha state. You've got to see it, like it being in that health state. What does that look like? What does it feel like? Really important for it to feel. The thing that the superconscious wants is it wants a picture of what it looks like, and it wants a feeling of what it feels like. And it's going to be hard at first for people that have been chronically ill, but you have to start carving away at it every day, seeing it more clearly, feeling it more, believing it. A belief is just a feeling of certainty. And when you get to the point where the mind can really see it, feel it, and believe it, then you're there, right? It will start showing up in the outer world.
I appreciate the way that you explain that. I know I have people coming into my Pilates studio and integrated health therapies clinic, and you know, they've had a Western medicine experience, and I'll know that because they'll come in and we'll do a consult and they'll say things like, I have a disc issue at L4 and L5, or they'll say, like, they'll use these medical terms that, yeah, you know, or anatomy terms, you know, they have no idea, you know, they are just repeating. And through the consult, you know, I'll move them a little bit, and they almost become defined by their bursitis or their rheumatoid arthritis. It becomes a part of them. And so and that was one of the things that I found challenging, is they almost define who they are instead of their name. They have become so rooted into their diagnosis, yeah, that they will consciously be like, well, I'm not supposed to do spinal extension. And I'm like, okay, so you can never look up and see, you know, a bird flying over, or you can never sip the last sip of tea out of your cup. So touch on that a little bit. How do you go beyond, you know, a previous diagnosis where it's kind of like in that documentary Heal, you know, their brain gets so concreted in that diagnosis that people can't do what you're saying, is to see yourself as healthy, as full of energy, as vital.
Yeah. Einstein said the most powerful force we have is our imagination. So we are using our imagination. You know, it's not, you can't touch it, you can't feel it when you're working on it inside. Well, you can feel it if you really envision it well, but you know, it's not something that is something that everyone go, oh yeah, we see that, right? It's inside you. That's the hard work. I think we have an epidemic right now of people, when they do get an illness, they, you know, they'll go to Google it, and then they look at, you know, what the symptoms are, how long it lasts, and you know, what my prognosis is, and it's just crazy. And then they buy into that. What are you buying into? You're buying into what the average person experiences when something like that happens to them. You know, even doctors, most doctors are saying, all right, you know, you've got this condition, here's what to expect. Or, you know, if it's a cancer stage 4, you know, here's how long you're going to about, you know, you have to live, which is just nuts. I say, don't do that, right? Don't buy into any of that crap. Like, anything's possible. I truly believe anything's possible. And what I did back in 2015 was, I didn't go on there because people were telling me, doctors were saying, look, you know, a lot of people have this the rest of their life. You just have to deal with it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to buy into the average. And so whatever I do in anything, and with my financial life, with my businesses, parenting, you know, whatever, find people, find that 0.1% or that 1% that had that same situation as you, but they crushed it, right? They overcame it, and buy into what they did. I've got a saying that also is in my book, that average conforms to reality, right? What's real? What can I touch? What can I feel? Okay, this is what's gonna happen. But greatness creates a whole new reality. It literally shifts reality. And so when you see these people that have had these healings from stage 4 cancer, they created a massive shift in their belief system. And it takes courage to do that, because a lot of people are like, well, what if I try it and it doesn't work? Well, you're just defeating yourself right, you know, now and then with that belief system. So try it, go for it. And if it doesn't work, you're still going to be better off than just sitting there worrying and buying into what the average people or the average condition or average lifespan is going to be. Yeah. So go big, play big. Like, this is your life. This is your health. Play big. And when you play big and you're consistent enough, and it takes courage, and you get your ass kicked sometimes where it knocks you back, but then you keep coming back. If you do that enough times, you will prevail.
So two last questions before we about our conversation. In your, you know, expertise, in your opinion, coming from everything that you've experienced and learned, what do you think is not being talked about enough in that realm of expertise that you come from?
Well, I think it's what we've just been talking about. I don't think most people, if you ask them what's your subconscious, I mean, they may know the term, but they don't know what it does. They don't know how to work with it. They don't know how to harness the unbelievable power. I think it's our connection to source, right? I believe that's what the unconscious mind really is. That's why everyone's had this happen before, but you know, you're thinking of somebody and then that person emails you or calls you and you haven't heard from them in months. Well, how the heck did that happen? It's because we're sending out almost like, you know, radio signals with our superconscious mind. That's why it can find the information you need to heal. It can find that person that you need to talk to that has information that can help you. It can spot things far beyond anything that you're consciously hearing or seeing or feeling or perceiving. And so when people understand this unbelievable gift we've been given, this mind that extends beyond us, we literally live within our superconscious mind. Your body is a function of your superconscious mind. Your superconscious mind is not a part of your body. Like when your body is over with, when it's time for your body to pass away, your mind will still be alive. And so I think that's such a powerful concept. And I hope more people really start to understand that and delve into it and work with it, because it's just such a gift when you really understand what we've got.
Tom, tell us what do you do? Like you are so dialed into this and I love everything that we've been chatting about. Give us a sense of kind of your one or two go-tos that, you know, our audience watching today could start to implement that keep you in this, you know, in this state of a positive mindset, understanding that superconscious really is where the operating system comes from.
So three things, and there's habits associated with them, but I'll just give you high level. And this is what I believe is the breakthrough code. When you want a breakthrough, when you want to heal, when you want to change your finances, when you want to have better relationships, I always go back to this code. And it's not like I am this unbelievable being that figured it out. I just watch people. I'm like, what are they doing? Like, how are people? Because I did not have the ideal childhood. My dad was killed in Vietnam when I was 3 years old, right? We grew up without money. We grew up with lots of sadness and grief and things like that in my family. So I had to look to people outside of my family, my experience, to see, all right, what are these people doing that allowed them to come from tough circumstances and create this massive shift in who they are? The first one I already alluded to, actually the first two, but I always just go, all right, I've got to focus in on what I really want, not what I'm experiencing now. And so focus on less too. So you can't have like 58 things that you want to have a breakthrough in. If you are someone who is ill, like that needs to be something you pour some energy into. So focus on less. I think three things where you want to create a massive shift is probably the max you want to do. So focus on less and then program it down into your superconscious. Then letting the superconscious know, here's what I want. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. Then you got to shift your story. Because at the end of the day, all we really are the stories we tell ourselves, the stories we programmed into ourselves of who we are, what we're capable of. You've got to shift your story about what's possible. You got to shift your story about who you are and how healthy you can be. If you've had chronic illness for a while, there's a story down in there that this is who I am. That's got to shift. You got to take that out. You got to put a better story in, and you can do that. And then the third aspect is you've got to pack your day with effective action. You don't have to be going crazy and foaming at the mouth, but there are certain actions. The equation I use is effort times effectiveness equals results. When I was first experiencing that chronic disease, that chronic fatigue, I was going to every doctor, you know, everyone that had an idea was going. That was very ineffective. And also it was taking my power away because I was putting it all on this next thing is going to be the thing, this next thing. now I know there's things out there that can help me, but the ultimate help is going to be me. And so figuring out in a more coherent way, what's the best action to take? And the beautiful thing is when you program the superconscious mind, it'll guide you intuitively to take the right actions and not just like go into a frenzy trying to create it. So when you do those three things, I believe you can create a breakthrough in any area of your life. And that's what I always go to in my life. Every day I'm working on something using those three aspects.
Tell us where the breakthrough code, I'm assuming, can we get it off your website? Can we get it off of Amazon? Where do we find it if someone wants to order it?
Yeah, Amazon is a great place to get it, especially if you're international. If you are in the US, you can also go to, and you can go there anyways, to thebreakthroughcode.com. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a bonus for everybody listening. I did 14 videos, and we're going to give you the first four videos on the Breakthrough Code too. And it's not a substitute for the book, but because the book, I think you'll really enjoy. It's a story. The book is a story about somebody that is struggling, and mentors come in and they have many great breakthroughs. And it's actually done really, really well. It's endorsed by a lot of people that you would recognize, like Tony Robbins, Jack Canfield, all sorts of different people. So I hope people read the book, but we'll give you guys the bonus for attending this summit. And I think you'll enjoy the videos. They'll really get you on a great start, help you tap into your purpose, help you see it, feel it, believe it. So that's also a good place to get started on the Breakthrough Code too.
Tom, you have given so much of yourself in this short little 45 minutes. I know that I don't know if you noticed, I was like taking the notes that I needed to take. Thank you. Thank you for offering new insights in such a simple, easy to receive way. On behalf of the audience at the Medicine of Mindset Summit, I just want to thank you for saying yes and being here. Anything left unsaid that you want to leave our audience with?
Well, I want to thank you because I think this is such an important topic. I'm a huge believer in it. And I know that, it takes a lot to do these summits. So I really appreciate you diving in and bringing all this great information that you're going to be bringing to people because, you know, you think everybody knows it probably. I think everybody knows it because everyone we hang around with thinks that way. But there's so many people that have no clue that they have this unbelievable power within them. And that's the final thing I would like to say is just, you know, you can virtually accomplish whatever you want. I do not believe there are limits. The subtitle of my book is a story about having to live or how to live a life without limits. And so start blowing through some of these old limits that you have and start living the life you were meant to live. You know, live big, play big, and have more fun, have more health. And thank you, Jana, for having me on.
That was so good. Thank you, Tom. Everyone, we will see you on the next episode of the Medicine of Mindset Summit.